Welcome, everyone. This is The Wrestling Show, a show that tries to keep you awake, unlike Raw, which we will get to. I'm Cav Manning from the Lingus Mafia podcast, along with Mr. Billy Body. Oh, Billy.
Yes.
Oh, the show last night was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, we knew it was going to happen because they don't have the consistency to keep it going, and they don't have the stories. At least over on SmackDown, it doesn't dip to this extent. I mean, Raw's been bad for weeks. We've been talking about it. They had a good run, I think, coming out of SummerSlam. And since they moved into Thunderdome, apart from the way they were booking Keith Lee, that was the common thing we were complaining about. Like, he's now nothing on the show. But SmackDown have got that. What's the secondary story? Oh, sorry, yeah, Banks and Bayley. So they got their top two stories. They got their top two stories running. So they're going to be fine because they've always got like a solid hour just out of those two stories.
It's really remarkable how much better SmackDown is than Raw. And I say this every week. I'm a broken fucking record when it comes to SmackDown.
You were not right. You were not right about it before. Like you just consistently...
I say it so it eventually it'll happen.
Yeah. It's periodic, definitely, like in terms of where it's... Sorry, I just got distracted by my guy by opening the notes. It's periodic where, like, it's definitely Raw for a shorter period because they have to, and they've got good stories as well. They always have to overcome the 3-hour part. So these parts where there's Garza and Andrade doing stuff, and there's like they had the Viking Raiders and the Street Profits and the 24/7 title, and they've got like loads of time to fill. So when Raw is good, it has to be really good. Because there's always going to be those shit bits that counteract the parts that were good,
mm-hmm.
and make you have to suffer more to get to the good bits. Whereas SmackDown doesn't make you suffer. If it's good, it's good. Like it's not a lot of time to invest. But really, it's crazy because people go like, "Oh, what's you know, it's 1 hour, it's 2 hours, 3 hours." But the time, the feeling of that invested time is so different.
It feels way different. It is. I think that's the main thing. It two hours is such a difference than the three. It just has a different
and
feel.
It's weird,
to it.
Isn't it? Because I could spend like sometimes I'm just sitting there,
mm-hmm.
like looking through my phone, flicking through TV channels, or fucking even staring out the window, and an hour can go by and I don't care. Like it means nothing. But this hour, you feel it more than just doing that kind of stuff.
Well, let's get off on this and go to SmackDown and tell you what happened there. They start off with Roman and Jey Uso setting up their Hell in a Cell. Because as Heyman starts to do his promo, Reigns cuts him off and says that he didn't want to be called the Tribal Chief. He just wanted, he wants Jey to acknowledge him. And all this nonsense, which I'm telling you, I just think this is the greatest with Roman being a bad guy. It's so fucking good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad as well that they are going to Hell in a Cell because I didn't want to see this Fiend thing start and finish with one match. I mean, it's kind of started, mm-hmm. but why do you go to the Hell in a Cell? I think maybe because it's like Hell in a Cell. And it's going to have that Halloween-y vibe, although we do have a real Halloween Havoc. Let me just have a look at something. Because Halloween Havoc's on the 28th.
Yeah, it's on just regular TV. It's on a Wednesday.
Why couldn't they do a Saturday?
That's what I thought. It's the same as what they did last time with the other, what was that, the Great American Bash or whatever they did?
Mm.
The other WCW thing. It was on their regular show, too. Which, as soon as I saw the Halloween Havoc thing come out, I was like, oh, that's fantastic. And then I realize it's on a Wednesday, and they go, who cares then? It totally changes to me. I go, they could have had the Thunderdome and made a whole entrance area and had that blowing up pumpkin, all that bullshit, and have the little graveyard. They could have went crazy with this. So they can't do that shit at the Performance Center.
Packers Vikings on my birthday.
Congratulations.
On the 1st of November.
So this is Jay comes to the ring, and, you know, he blames his brother for throwing in a towel and that he would have beat him. So they set this whole thing up. AJ Styles comes out, though, to talk shit, which I thought was fantastic as he was talking shit on the way to the ring, saying, who cares who's at the head of the table and who has the most chicken bones? I was like, that is the fucking greatest.
He's off this brand next week.
Yes, as you wrote, because he lost to the Uso, which I said, that's a very good fucking win, because I think Uso needs a real win, you know? He's got to build himself up a little bit. He's only had one win, and that was the qualifier. Otherwise, he's never had a fucking win by anything.
No, he had that multi-man. Yeah, the multi-man. We'll qualifier.
Yeah.
As you call it.
Yeah. After that match, we get Otis and Morrison. And Otis defeating Morrison with a Vader bomb. I don't even know where to fucking go with this, because they almost, I think they thought they were going to do something and then change their minds.
Yeah, of course. I think that's 100%. I would like to know what it is, though, that they were planning to do here. I mean, it would evolve.
They painted themselves into a corner.
I would think Mandy was turning or some basic shit like that.
And then they said, we could do too much with her being a good guy.
Possibly. I think maybe they think nobody wants to boo her, or maybe they thought they'd be out of this current climate and they were going to do something with that.
I mean, now they have them still quote-unquote together and they're on separate brands, so we don't even get that fun stuff where, you know, we get nonsense with the two of them. And I don't think they know about where the hell they're going with Otis having Money in the Bank. He was supposed to give it up or choose or whatever. And so he just decided not to. So they're not doing their lawsuit then anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I still think that they may just use this to get the tag titles. I cannot see him being anywhere near anything, unless he goes to Raw as well, because
they're gonna split them up, right? And then poor Tucker will have nothing to do.
Do you break up the Drew title run with Otis, or do you break up the Roman heel run with Otis?
Oh my god,
it's just not, it's unthinkable the position that they're in. But I don't know,
they do have a long time to go.
They do, because they have all the way till after WrestleMania, but at the same time, Roman comes out of WrestleMania facing Big E or the Rock. The Rock's the first choice and Big E's the second choice, right? So there's no way that you cash in on either one of these. You don't cash in on Big E on his first week as the champion. Although I think Roman will beat Big E, and Roman will also beat the Rock. So you just don't cash in on Roman. Second of all, whoever actually dethrones Drew at WrestleMania, or whenever he loses the championship, I think on the subject of that, I think now that the WrestleMania is in Tampa, I think even Drew, from conversations that I've had, would prefer to lose the championship now and restart the story where it was supposed to begin with fans.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think he wants to carry the belt into Tampa and drop it. I think he wants to restart the year over. Even from him, like when he said it was Tampa, his response to me was, "Oh, great! Hopefully can win it properly when he has it."
Yeah.
So that tells me that I don't know whether they want to do it, whether they have plans to do that or whatever, but I think that's what. But then, when fans are back and you've already done this title reign for most of this year, and say he drops it at the Rumble or something and then wins it back, like how much legs does it have? Just because the fans watched it, who watched it at home, are now back in the arenas and you're getting the same run on television, mm. it will play out as something that you already saw before.
Yeah, you have. Yeah, it's.
They're gonna have to. He can't have another year or 10 months with it. He can't go 10 months, or sorry, 9 months, drops it at the Rumble, and then 9 months again. He can only really have it from Mania to SummerSlam, and then maybe move over in the draft to SmackDown and win that one. Because that has to be the career path. But I think he wants that moment of winning it. Unless, of course, you do a really big title defense, like the Roman may get that title defense over The Rock, and Drew may get that title defense over Brock or someone. I don't know what the thinking is yet, but it certainly seems like they'd be building towards Rock and Roman is the only way to end the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even, it's so far ahead, but the way this is going, I don't even have an issue with Roman getting through Mania and having this championship all the way to WrestleMania 38 when they actually do go to Hollywood. And then I think The Rock would 100% do WrestleMania without any issue, because I don't think he's going to be insured to do under any kind of movie insurance in 2022, because that's the launch of the XFL. And he'll come on to WWE TV to tell everyone that he has the XFL and to promote it. And he'll probably come in for a paltry sum of like $3 or $4 million to work Mania, which is nothing for it to pay him. At the same time, he'll be on their TV going, hey, you know that XFL thing that Vince had? I got it, and it's back next week, or next month. Yeah, that makes the most. But Roman with a title reign for 18 months, I don't really have a problem with it at the moment.
No, I don't, as long as they can keep it not stale. I mean, they got to go into stories and stuff like that, of course. And that's a hard thing for them. God forbid they put some effort. All right. Sheamus defeats Shorty G. And remember when they were trying to do something with old Shorty G?
Remember when he was like, when he turned heel?
Yeah. What the fuck happened?
His reset is... get your head kicked off by Sheamus, because we've seen this match like 8 times.
Yeah.
And then next week, get seen backstage talking to someone who calls you small, and then you beat them in an upset, and then you're repackaged in a new program.
Until you lose
3 times to the guy that you beat in a small package, and then lose to Sheamus again, and then come back.
It sounds like a plan. Big E promo airs after the match, before the match, and he challenges Sheamus to a falls count anywhere next week on SmackDown.
I don't like Sheamus being this guy who is a prick to the babyfaces, but then loses the feuds, because I think he's better than this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they got to give somebody to Big E that has credibility.
But he also just did this for Jeff. So, I mean, he lost more matches in the Jeff feud than he won. I mean, that bar fight was really good, but still.
The KO show, and we get Alexa Bliss on this show. Owens tries to talk to her about her recent transformation. She's a terrible actress, by the way. I don't think she's that good. I think Aaliyah is much better.
And oh my god, Aaliyah's terrible.
As an actress?
Aaliyah playing off Dominic is not good.
Well, yeah, this week it wasn't the greatest, but otherwise she's always been the best.
Mm.
So it's, you know, my brain has been washed for the better. You know, I realize things now, and does the whole let me in thing, and the lights go out, and of course the Fiend shows up and chokes out Owens. And then they stare at each other, Bliss and the Fiend, and then before offering hands, which she took his hand. I enjoy this, Billy.
Yeah, I like this too. I'm looking forward to the sex tape.
Yeah.
In the fun house.
Lucha House Party.
Do you think that she's going to be the Fiend with new music and stuff and do what he does in her matches?
No. I don't think they ugly her up, because I think they know that everybody jerks off to her. So you can't.
Well, no, they don't. They don't ugly her up. They can still make her have an attractive version of the theme. Like, they can just do her hair and.
Well, I think that's pretty much what they do with that hair all goofy. And she kind of looks like a Chucky doll a little bit.
Is this just Joker and Harley Quinn on their TV?
Yeah, that's pretty much. Yeah, it's the same as Bane is on Raw.
Exactly. So what Vince did is
he discovered Vince the Dark Knight.
So let's open the bag here. Vince blatantly got coronavirus, right? And he had to self isolate, and he's never isolated before. And somebody's like, "Hey, boss, I'll bring you some movies for your hotel," and yes, that's what ended up happening. And he ended up watching fucking Dark Knight.
He
Dark
said,
Knight Rises.
"I discovered a new movie, Suicide Squad. Yeah, all that. Lucha House Party.
Fantastic.
And Matt Riddle versus Corbin, Cesaro, Shinsuke. Who really gives a shit? House Party is going to break up."
Matt Riddle had his hair done by a 9-year-old black guy.
Oh, I saw that people were posting. Oh, look, he looks like a girl on a spring break.
Kofi Riddle here.
They're gonna break up. House Party. Kalisto's all pissed off because he wasn't the third guy in the match. He's like, "What the fuck is this?" And then they get into some pushing shit. And of course, it's always like, "Oops, he hits the wrong guy." All that kind of shit. But Riddle's team wins. Carmella is revealed as the woman from the vignettes. Mm-hmm. And does she look worse to you than she did before? I saw online, and I said to my buddy, Mr. Goosecock, I said to him, "You know, Carmella looks worse now than she did when she was her other character." And he goes, "Did you see that she's already crying on Instagram or wherever, or on like Twitter?" And I said, "For what?" And he goes, "For people saying that she looks ugly." And I go, "How funny is that? That I said she looked ugly." And I'm like, I mean, I'm not tweeting her going, "You look fucking ugly." But she, I don't know, the glam thing, it didn't do anything. It didn't help.
Here's the thing, right? She's playing the 2020 narcissist Lex Luger, right?
And or Emelina.
Either way, she's doing that. She's doing this gimmick. Cody Rhodes has done it. Emma's done it. Lex Luger's done it. The people that are cast in these roles
mm-hmm.
have to look ridiculous. This was Mandy's part to play. Right. So Carmella, quite clearly, is 77% plastic, right? You can tell, like, that she's had everything done. And she's even, like, retweeting back these comments about people saying that she's plastic and all this.
People
this
asking if she got a nose job or not, and she's like, right. No. And I'm like, why would they think she had a nose job? Her nose is big.
it's all this shit, whereas, like, she has had so much, like, Botox, and it's so obvious. She has a weird hairline, which makes her forehead look huge. And then she like parts it at the top, which is not how you should be having your hair. Like, at least before, when it was all wavy and backcombed. So I know about how girls do their hair. It looked,
because you do it similar.
Yeah, it hid it. It hid her big, massive forehead. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You don't come out with poker straight hair and then the other thing is with this nose ring, all these girls, right, they think it all looks really fucking good. Like, the thing is that I don't think it suited Renee. I think it looked weird because she's got that pretty face, and then the nose ring does. Do you know who it works on? Ruby not Ruby, right, Liv Morgan or Paige, or sort of these like gutter slut looking girls, and then like it just tops off their look when they have the nose ring.
The cherry on top.
Yeah, it doesn't work. It doesn't work on a Renee, and it doesn't work on a Carmella. I mean, she if she was doing that Staten Island gutter slut gimmick and, you know, just wearing all the stuff that she wore there, like the jean shorts and all that, then the nose ring works. The nose ring doesn't go with the glamour gimmick at all. I just don't think she was the right person to do it.
I've always said, like, when someone dresses up in, like, a ballroom gown or, you know, one of those sleeveless type of, you know, very fancy things, it is completely ruined if you have a tattoo showing.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the same type of thing. Like, if they had a big, giant shoulder tattoo, you go, this is horrible.
So run down your list of, like, give me three people in the company now who could have taken this gimmick. Lana, Mandy.
Mm-hmm.
Although they're not doing anything with Lana apart from trying to
I think they could have done Liv if, you know, I mean, they were trying to, it almost seemed like.
I'm still trying to work out what the bath was.
What the bath was?
Yeah, when they were cutting the character when she was in the bathtub. I never got to the bottom of that.
I don't know. They just change their minds halfway through everything. Always. But yeah, the Carmella thing, she's like, I'm not your princess anymore. And I'm like, okay. And now she's going to be busy with a Polaroid camera? What's that all about?
Yeah, putting lipstick on the mirrors. Like, I don't understand. So who's your third person who could have this?
Like I said, I thought it was...
Oh, you said Liv, right?
Yeah, I think because I think she's like one of the top three best looking women in the whole company. So
I tell you what I think has happened. Mm-hmm. I think they had the gimmick in place, and then Chelsea Green said they contacted Chelsea Green to use Zack Ryder's pool, and Zack Ryder went fuck you, and now Chelsea Green had the gimmick taken off her, and it was given to Carmella because she is the absolute. Like perfect person to do it, and I don't think that she's perfect looking either, but she's got a perfect body and she's like photographs really well all over her. She has like the best Instagram out of all the women, and she should have been doing this, unless of course, like, there is an element of it where if it's a heel doing it, it's okay to turn around and go, actually you're not as hot as you think you are, but You need to not be a fucking moron and then go on social media and be like, hey,
yeah.
I've only been back on TV a week after like 2 months off. And she was like, oh, I've been off TV for 2 months and I've been back for one day. And the hate and the toxicity is unbelievable.
Yeah, she's a bad guy. She has to be. She should play it like that.
Yeah, it's like, what do you want us to do? What is it like to feel sorry for you? Like you're fishing for the tweets going, you're really beautiful and everything like that. Whereas if you give this gimmick to someone, it can either be like someone who's not all that, but that's a weird one to do because that's more like, if you're going to do it like that, it has to be someone like Bertha Faye or Nia Jax or somebody that thinks they're fucking beautiful. And they're so obviously not, because when it's borderline, when it's borderline, it's really difficult to like pull off.
But Nia got a great face.
I knew we'd talk about this for a while because it's such a difficult fucking gimmick to do. And then it's like, how does it even translate onto TV? Like, what's she going to go out there and do? Because she's still going to be a wrestler. She's still going to be a heel. Like this stuff with the dress and the mirror and all that kind of stuff, it's not going to transition onto TV. And at the end of the day, the Staten Island stuff that she was doing with Enzo and Kaz, when she turned heel and she was with Ellsworth and everything, she wasn't doing it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
She was just being a heel. And when she comes back onto TV, she'll just be a heel. And these vignettes will be nothing to do with it. I mean, she may like wear a dress to like come and do commentary when she's in a feud with someone or whatever. But I don't know. I mean, it's how is it even... Another thing is how is it really that dissimilar from Lacey Evans? Because she's a lady
mm-hmm.
too, right? But like yeah. more of a...
The old-fashioned type of stuff, yeah. All right, let's move on here and move along with the show. Sasha Banks cuts a brief promo on Bayley. And Sasha look hot to the touch.
My God.
it's unbelievable.
She really does make... no tits look so good.
And I was just thinking, she needs a pair of tits.
she has some tits in this though. But I know they're not real. This was blatantly like the dress or the outfit, whatever it is that had the tits in it.
Yeah.
But yeah,
so,
I mean.
We'll be getting this storyline for quite a while with Sasha Bailey.
We'll be
Bailey.
Getting this match next week, apparently.
Oh, God. I hope it doesn't happen. Something has to happen. I don't want that.
I hope she gets spine busted onto her neck and that's all that happens. Like, they just stop it. And
yeah.
That's the best. Yeah.
Sami Zayn, the champion, the IC champion, goes against Jeff Hardy. And, Zayn wins because there's a turnbuckle exposed and we get that playing like he's going to slam him into it all the time. But Hardy gets swept off the top rope, causing his face to smash into the metal and gets the pin. And that is the end of SmackDown. And I would say this last part, this last note that you wrote, but I have no fucking clue what you're talking about.
You wrote that D2 Raw before company is.
You know what? That might be like...
I was going to ask you what that meant.
I was like, did he hit the buttons wrong? Or
that's what I thought.
That's funny.
Because it says wrestling show, and then before it says Raw, it says D to Raw before companies. You need to work out what you meant by that.
Because I
wanted to know. That's why I left it.
You know what? I think that's one of those predictive texts that I didn't mean to hit or something. That's funny.
D to Raw before companies. I think it means something.
We're going to have to investigate to see if it means anything. Let's get into Raw.
Is it anything to do with like transitioning over from Patriots Chiefs to the start of Raw? D to Raw before company is.
You know what? That might be the title of the show. D to Raw before company. The whole, everybody'd see the title and go, ooh, what does this mean? What is this? What is this? Well, we want to know the same thing. What the fuck is this? Orton, instead of showing a video package of what happened, Orton kind of narrates what happens as he sits in the lounge and talks about what went on. And they're showing little clips of each guy dead in the room from last week where he took them all out, and he talks about, I put on my night vision goggles, and just goes through the whole thing. And then Drew shows up and beats the shit out of him. And they set up Hell in a Cell. The end of that. 6-woman tag. I fucking laugh. I was like, oh, look, Natalia's blinking SOS signals when she's walking to the ring with Lana. Get me away from her. Draft me away from Lana.
They could not make something more obvious about what they're doing with this.
She just fucking... So the 6-man is Lana, Natalia, and Zelina versus Mandy, Dana, and Asuka. And guess who takes the pin in this match?
Yeah, I guess you can put imagine through the, that. Fucking, the table after.
Jesus fucking Christ already with this. Lana loses again. Mandy not wearing all gold, as I said last week, helps. She could have different outfits now and look a lot better because she doesn't have to adhere to one thing.
Let me just point out something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me just make this sense of this for everybody else in case people don't read the dirt sheets. Rusev got let go, right?
Yeah.
Right?
So, and they're mad at him.
So they took away his ability to make money. They was like, hey, we're not going to pay you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, okay, thanks for the time that you paid me for.
Yeah, didn't say a bad word.
And then he went on Twitch, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said something bad about Dave Meltzer or whatever. And then he got another job because he still needs to work because he still lives in a house and drives a car and like has lights in the house that need paying for.
And he needs and food.
And the internet. Right, these things, he still needs to pay for them. So he went and got another job. And because he went and got that job, which was the only job that he could get because this is what he does for a living, they decided to destroy his wife for 3 weeks and try to injure her with the most unsafest worker in the history of the company. Is that what's happening here, right? Just
yes.
Right. Okay.
And speaking of Nia and Baszler, fresh from COVID, come back afterwards and beat up Natty and Lana and grab Lana and put her through a table. Actually,
and they were actually online going, the company are talking shit. None of us are unhealthy. None of us are unhealthy.
Always.
Lies. Nia Jax was like, lies or something.
It is so weird that they won't say when someone has COVID. They like ignore it. It's so fucking odd.
They hide behind the law. I spoke about this on Russo's show. So there's a law. When was it? Keep going and I'll find the law. My notes.
Seth and Murphy go up against Dominic Mysterio and Humberto. Murphy pins Humberto. The KO show. And Bray is...
So one second. HIPAA laws. You got HIPAA laws in the US. And HIPAA protects people. This is one part of HIPAA pertains to maintaining the security and confidentiality of patient records. It involves both the conversational discretion of healthcare providers and the security of medical records. The terms can also refer to physical privacy of patients from other patients and providers while in a medical facility. Modern concerns include the degree of disclosure to insurance companies, employers, and third parties. So under HIPAA laws, if you've got COVID, they're not allowed to talk about it without your permission.
Which is true. Yeah, you can't give someone's medical out. That's right, for sure. So but they'll make a special out of this, I bet you, in a couple of years.
Well, that's the thing. So they're hiding behind the wrestler's legal rights and saying that the wrestler doesn't want you to know they have COVID. Like it's fucking... like it's fucking AIDS.
Yeah, I was
like,
going to say.
No one's going to be embarrassed to get this.
No.
They're hiding behind that by saying, oh, we're not disclosing any names or anything behind this under the laws of HIPAA, which is their story and they're sticking to it. But at the same time, you have nobody in the WWE coming out and saying that they've got it. So you're trying to tell me that that nobody wants to say they have it. It doesn't make any sense.
Anyway, all right.
That's the situation.
So as KO is supposed to have Bray Wyatt on his talk show, Bray is on the Titantron and on the Funhouse. So they go back and forth for a while, which is always entertaining watching Bray on doing Funhouse stuff. And so KO says, well, if you're not going to come out here, I'm going to go get you. And of course, that black guy shows up and kicks him. Black, Aleister Black, black guy.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay.
Like, who the fuck came out? Aleister Black comes out and kicks KO, and that ends that. Exhibition match, which is weird. Why they call it exhibition match? Because Strowman isn't officially on Raw? Is that this deal?
So, let me get this straight. This is the dumbest fucking shit I've ever seen. It's an exhibition match because Strowman isn't on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
They have the brand-to-brand invitational where people are fucking hip-hopping around.
But he wasn't officially pulled over.
So he wasn't. So why did he go? Why did he? So Strowman, and then Strowman's all like, well, I'm here now. Who told you to come here? You were not on the brand-to-brand invitational, which I imagine.
And he mentions no Raw Underground.
Right. See, he didn't. So there's no Raw Underground tonight, and he says that, and it wasn't last night. So hopefully, at least they mentioned it. So maybe there's going to be another one. So are you trying to tell me that he turned up for the Raw Underground, found out it wasn't on, he couldn't contact Shane or anything, and then expected to work? But then they said you can't work because the Raw to Raw, the brand to brand invitational, is literally an invitation. And Braun doesn't have the correct email in his email inbox. Is that the intricate story behind what happened here? Because it's fucking stupid as fuck. Because Braun's stupid for turning up. And they are now trying to turn around and say that something that they've not given a shit about for the entire year now has very, very stringent like rules about it all along. Where we had people literally coming out and saying, I'm going to go to your brand and I'm going to go. You've got fucking Kevin Owens doing the Kevin Owens show and having a match on SmackDown this week. And the thing is that they put it like back to back. It's not like they hide it in a different part of the show where it's like you forget. Like it's Kevin Owens is there. They're telling you he's going over. This guy is next segment. He comes over from his show and they're like, you can't be it. It's so dumb.
This is how they've been forever. They've done this for so long. So it's a double count out with Strowman and Keith Lee.
Yeah, Keith Lee's dead. I have no interest in him at all.
And they just keep on fighting afterwards and, like, pretty much do monster movie stuff where they break everything and they fall through shit and they're both dead afterwards.
I've seen this sticking with the baby suit for Keith Lee.
Yes. And now he has, a logo on it. I didn't notice that before. Bianca Belair, she does another promo. Now she's the best at board games or fucking game night games. I don't even know what the fuck game that was, but it was kind of a Trivial Pursuit type of game. And she has the ugliest friends you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, well, I mean, it had to be to make her look good looking.
Ruby Riott laughs at the fucking tattoos on the one fucking chick. Her neck was, oh, fucking gross.
Is she a heel? Because she comes across.
She's like annoying, yeah.
Yeah. Like, you can't, but she's unbearable. She's more unbearable than the Street Profits here, which is saying something. I don't know
how she's just not teamed up with them, like their own little stable. Kind of like, I mean, you got Naomi with the Usos at times, you know?
I mean, when you look at the Carmella thing, Carmella is supposed to be like the outright heel who you're supposed to hate. She's better than you and all this stuff. And then you've got Bianca. What's she doing? Is she not doing the outright, I'm better than you at everything stuff?
But she's a black chick, so it turns into just black, black bragging. Because, you know, like athletes, a lot of black athletes, when they whoop you out there, they talk shit and people like
them. So what is she then? Like the fucking, so she's MJF then? Because that's what he's like. He's like, I'm better than you. She might as well come on and go, I'm blacker than you and you know it.
I'm the blackest.
Yeah, exactly. I don't understand what this is, but they're lucky they haven't got any crowds and they could just pipe in whatever they want, because her and the Street Profits would be so hated. It comes back around again. We said it last week.
Mm-hmm.
Vince McMahon doesn't know any actual black people.
No,
except for the ones that he's working. He's paying, and as soon as they come in through his doors, he's going to decide how black they're going to be. I mean, obviously nobody dropped off any of those fucking black movies to him. He's obviously just got through the superhero films and the horrors.
He's got to go to Booty Call next.
Yeah, straight out of Compton, Boys in the Hood, and all that shit.
You're going the mean way. I go the funny way.
Friday.
Yeah, Friday was the last one.
Yeah, that's all sitting there for like the next time he gets sick. So we wait a year or two, and then he might learn how to book a black person. But she's a fucking obnoxious piece of shit. I don't understand how anybody would like her.
We had 24/7 title nonsense during this night. I'm not even going to barely glance over it. Gulak won it once, and by the end, we had fucking R-Truth win it back. So MVP is in the ring, and they're supposed to go against... It's supposed to be Shelton and Lashley versus Ricochet and Apollo. And it's MVP talking to Retribution first before the match. And did you realize that he called him T-Bag instead of T-Bar?
No.
I swear to God, he said T-Bag.
He must have done it. Knowing him, he would have done it on purpose.
I was like, oh, fuck. I rewound it. I'm like, he did. He actually said T-Bag. And then I started thinking, am I wrong? Is his name really T-Bag?
He got thrown onto TV. He said you're a throat or something to Lana without asking the company like to say it. So,
oh man, Ricochet turns down being in the Hurt Business because they offered, I need someone for tonight, because the other guy's still out with COVID. Full Lashley.
Oh, was this where he's making the jokes about pass? About passing.
Yeah, it's fucking bad.
He's fucking so... He's the worst talker ever.
And he's banging a hot broad, too.
Is he?
Yeah, that Casey Quintero chick from NXT. Mm. That little gymnast from American Ninja Warrior. Very nice. So now it's Aaliyah's turn to wear Louis Vuitton. I fucking was laughing my ass off, Billy. Because we actually said this last week, that they rotate, and whose turn is it next? We fucking said this. So we said every week somebody has to wear Louis, and it's going around in a circle. And now fucking we had Aaliyah wear fucking this horrible nun's outfit.
Yeah, why aren't Louis Vuitton making a nun outfit? Like, this,
I don't know.
This has
got to
be like
is.
For the high end, like Vatican nuns. get this stuff. As Louis Vuitton is Italian, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, there you go. It makes sense. That's why they have a nun outfit.
She's in the back with Murphy. And it's the whole, are you going to apologize to Seth or not? Yada, yada. So Seth in the ring yells to Murphy to apologize. Grabs him by the beard. Fucking apologize. Murphy then goes crazy and beats the shit out of Seth. And of course, Rollins ends up getting the upper hand and starts beating the shit out of Murphy. Where, how could you have ever gotten the upper hand? You had the cane the whole time. Aaliyah shows up to help, stands over Macho Man and says, please don't hit him anymore. And then the whole family, Mysterio family, comes and says, what the fuck are you doing? Mysterio's wife has big, fake, giant tits. I noticed this.
Needs to work on her face. But,
this is a face transplant.
I tell you what. If she wore the Mysterio mask as well, you'd be really
like Kalisto's wife. It's the same thing.
You'd be like, that's I really want to know what's under there.
Great tits, terrible face.
You could bang with a mask on, but here they've not given themselves anywhere to go here now, because it's going to be a dumb story if Murphy and Seth are setting her up. So she has to kind of turn now, because you can't really say, oh, we took that beating to set you up. Like, I was willing to take one for the team and it was worth it to take a few shots. Like, they can say that, but that's really dumb, because that's so complicated for wrestling fans to digest, in terms of this beating happening between these two.
Mm-hmm.
And then them two saying that we planned the beating. I guess if you want to be really technical, and Seth could say, he wasn't even hurting me, I was wearing my leather jacket, whatever. But
it's like a Roman wearing a fucking vest being punched. Women's tag team match for the titles, and it was the Riot Squad with another repackaged Liv Morgan versus Shayna and Nia. What are your thoughts on this?
Are you familiar with the film Cinderella?
Sure.
Do you know the story, right?
Sure.
Tell me the story, just quick. Tell everyone.
She has evil stepsisters, and she has to fucking clean the floors and all that shit, and then she goes to a fucking ball, lose her slipper. She becomes like a fucking, princess for a fucking day, but she's going to... The pumpkin is going to turn back into a pumpkin after the stroke of midnight when she gets back home.
So there's three ugly stepsisters, right? And she's mm-hmm. the beautiful one that they're jealous of, and that's why they keep her in, right?
Yeah.
If you're making this film, yeah, in real life,
yeah,
would you not take all these four and make the Cinderella film right here?
That's 100%. That's true.
Is it not?
Liv and the three ugly ones.
Right. And she's blonde and everything, and she could, if she took out the piercings and put some like nicer like makeup on,
mm-hmm.
Like some more girly makeup, she could easily be Cinderella, and these could easily be the three ugly sisters. I don't think everyone's too sensitive now. In the new film, the Disney film, they weren't called the ugly sisters, but originally they were called the ugly sisters. I'm sure they were.
Oh my god. I got a great idea. I'm gonna name you the ugly sisters.
So I want everybody to also like watch two things. I want you to look out for.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to like look at the Coquita clutch and look at like Shayna's face and Ruby's face. And I want you to imagine that you went out the night before, and then you wake up and you turn around and you see those two looking at you. And that's what you brought home. Just do that for me. And second of all, watch this match carefully in the background, because Seth Rollins' twin is in the Thunderdome. And once you see him, you can't unsee him for the rest of the show. He's got a baseball cap on backwards.
I'm going to have to look for this, because I did not notice that at all.
It's fucking like, It's like, honestly, like, instead of Rollins is in the Thunderdome, like, they just needed to feel that scream. In this
That'd match. Be great.
Like, yeah, Seth, like, don't, we don't want people to blatantly know it's you. Tie your hair up and put this cap on. So,
The Hurt Business versus Ali. He's going to take them all on. And Retribution shows up. And Hulk Hogan turns into the NWO. Ali runs out. He says, I'm with you guys to the fucking Hurt Business. And they all get in a circle to, you know, fight. And Ali jumps out of the ring and goes face to face with Bane and the Predator. And then it turns out he's with them and he's the leader.
What was my joke here? Like, during this, let's go back to our chat.
Well, you said, he's the leader. And you hadn't seen it?
No.
Well, what did you see that made you say that?
Hold on. Let me see. Pick six, garbage. By the way, Roar is garbage.
These are our texts to each other during the night. Football and Raw is shit.
MVP called T-Bag. Where is this text?
Well, it's all mine, and then it hits you, right? Like, it's a group of me.
Wow, the leader of Retribution revealed. Wow, the leader of Retribution revealed when he turned, right? That was the joke. That was at the point where he turned. I put, wow, the leader of Retribution revealed. That was me joking, because that was when he joined. I said that.
Yeah.
Right? And then I put...
when he joined who?
Oh, my God. I was joking, and it's real. Because the commentator then said, Ali has a joined Retribution. Looks like Ali's leading Retribution. And that's when I put, oh, my God, I was joking. Because I was joking when I said, wow, the leader of Retribution revealed, laughy face, because that was just ridiculous to me. And then the joke became true a minute later. In fact, at 3:34 in the morning, I say, wow, the leader of Retribution revealed. At 3:36, I say, oh, my God, I was joking, and it's real.
I'm thinking you're watching this the whole time. I'm like, what?
I was watching that bit, but the thing is that I was watching it, and I said, wow, the leader of Retribution revealed as sarcasm.
Jesus Christ.
And then it was the leader of Retribution, and then I just think, oh, my God, this is so dead. Like, I understand that he was meant to be... Do you think this was supposed to be the hacker and these people were supposed to come in one by one and he working for him, and then they were going to reveal the hacker? This, either way you do it, with how he's been, had they brought these people in one by one and then the hacker, and they said that the hacker was their leader and the hacker was revealed to be him, it's still a fucking shit show. It was always been a shit show when this was the leader. And I'll tell you another thing. I don't think this was the leader, because they were teasing The Miz and people and Kevin Owens and other people like Sheamus, and people were going, that'd be terrible, that'd be terrible, that'd be terrible. But now it's this. I don't think that it was going to be this, because why would you put any losses on him at all since he's been back? He wouldn't even have been with those fucking three douchebags like the entire time. There's no way it was going to be him. I just literally think that they just thought, we need to put an end to this, or we need to get this moving, or whatever. People are laughing at it online. It hasn't worked. They thought they were going to do like a whole Antifa thing. They started reading the comments, and they've decided that they need to basically move along with it and get it finished before Mania, or even by Survivor Series. There's no way it was him. There's no way it was him.
All there's the no time? No.
No.
No, we know that they never have long plans.
I think they would have been. I think they would have had some plans for some sort of leader.
You would think. You start there and work backwards, right? I thought the leader is going to be teabagged the whole time. I mean, what the fuck?
The leader of this would have had to have challenged for the championship. They would have had to. What if this was serious? They would win at Survivor Series. Somebody would pin Drew, and then he would be the challenger at the Royal Rumble.
You know what? Maybe it's Lars Sullivan.
That that would actually be.
After he fucking pins them, he yanks their pants down and butt fucks.
But that's the thing. They're all dressed in bondage gear as well. So, I mean, they could just be a fucking gay group. I mean, I tell you, if Velveteen Dream could have led this group, that would have been good.
Oh, man. Main event of the evening is... is Drew and the Street Profits versus Ziggler, Rude, and Orton. And all I put is a bunch of Z's underneath it because I'm like, who fucking... This is the main event. It's turned back into the old really bad Raws where it's just, let's just have a group tag team match for the main event and who gives a shit. And they're like, oh my God, Orton pinned Drew. He pinned the world champion. Don't we see this every time there's going to be a pay-per-view or something? It's always the challenger beating the champion.
Drew McIntyre almost made it 12 months without being pinned. He hasn't been pinned since the Survivor Series last year.
Yeah, I realize that too. Like, they don't have him get pinned every fucking 4 seconds, and they usually do it to everyone. But they didn't do it to him until just now. So
I think the last person that pinned him was Roman Reigns at the Survivor Series.
Jesus.
2019.
And so is this supposed to let us think that Orton's winning the title?
I think it's supposed to. I think it makes us think that Orton's not winning the title. It's not supposed to do that. Yeah, but
well,
I'm sure all the people will get it wrong again. We might be able to make some money on it.
There you go. So there is your Raw and SmackDown review. And we got it in under an hour, Billy, which was good because nothing happened on fucking Raw. So it was very easy. I think the main thing to take away from Raw is that that D to Raw before company is. Don't you think?
Oh. All right, yes, sir. I forgot what you were doing.
Thank you. Fuck. All right. You can find all my nonsense at Lingus Mafia. Just go there, and then you could find my weekly podcast, which I have nothing to do with talking about wrestling, so you'll enjoy it. What about NFL? You, Bill?
I want to mainly plug our NFL show here.
Go for it.
Yeah, listen to our NFL show. We're still 100% on our locks.
On our first locks. On our secondary locks, I've lost one.
So we'll clear that up on the show this week. But yeah, at the moment, we're 100% with our first locks, 8-0 for the season and overall. And if you count our secondary locks, we'd be 15-1.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even imagine. Like, that's 15. That's £1,400 that you betting $100 on each of our picks. Like, that's £1,400 that you would have made from the free show.
Yeah, I've been winning some good money this year. So,
I mean, Derek hasn't made that from podcasting since he started in 2016. you'd be benefiting more and more successful and have more success from podcasts by listening to our first four shows, than you would have done being Derek. I think that puts it all into perspective. Also, it's interesting this week because it's Cab's team versus Cab's boyfriend. So,
yeah, I don't even know what to do with myself. I win either way, Billy.
I don't think this happens very often. So yeah, you get to. I don't think it's happened since I've known you. I don't think that.
No, they did. They it was 2 years ago.
Right.
Two years ago, the Patriots went to Chicago, and my father was actually going to fly me in for that game. Because my nephew was going, who was a Patriot fan, and he's like, you take him to the game, because he was having a rough time. But I was like, I had just gone there for a game, and it was like, come fly back and come to another game. And I'm like, I don't want to go back.
Last year I was fucking flying back and forth to New York. I was going home for a week and then flying back. That didn't bother me. But especially now I'm really happy that I did all that last year, because I didn't know that I would be
not doing anything.
I would be held prisoner for this year. But
Now I'm like, well, shit. If I knew my father was going to be dead shortly after, I would have went too. But I didn't.
That's the thing. So I feel like the whole year will be. It's literally going to get reset. If Tampa has Mania, and we can go, which I assume we can.
There's going to be limited tickets. That's for sure.
You think? I don't think. I think it'd be like so. It'll be full up.
Oh, God. You should see what's going on in this country right now. Forget it. I'm not going to make this a politics show, but
listen, I saw a 73-year-old get it, and he's fat, and he's absolutely fine. Like just a few days later, he's just out there, and he told me that this ain't shit, and I believe him because he's never lied.
And when he's contagious, he takes off his mask and says, "I don't give a fuck who's around me. I'm giving it to everyone."
I have no reason not to.
Oh my God.
The president of the world.
So. I'm going to move in with you or I'm going to Canada. What are the other? Fuck. All right, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the show. We will be back tomorrow with the rest. Not the wrestling show, because we've done that, God forbid. We'll be back with the NFL show tomorrow. So you could hear our lovely voices once again. Everyone, have a lovely day. And we're out of time.